Stardom 101.
It's the Stardom 101 magazine podcast.
Shining light on today's tastemakers
and innovators.
Keeping it with your host, Christopher Boykin.
It's the Stardom 101 magazine podcast.
Stardom 101 magazine podcast. We are back once again, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for tuning into us weekly like you do, listening and learning and engaging with the audience, the Stardom people. And today I feature Melissa Johnson. She is the leader of the Compassionate Advocate, and we're going to discuss the Prentice Prison Ministry and advocates for the inmates as well. So once again, Melissa, how are you? How is your day? And how has life been treating you?
Wow. First of all, I am doing wonderful. That's how I'm doing. My day is great. Yes. And life couldn't be better. I would say that. And I thank you for allowing me to be here and having me on as well.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. This topic that we are going to be discussing today is a very dear and serious topic. And I think it needs to be discussed right now with everything going on in society, the pressure, the world. A lot going on. We could touch on that as well, too. So I'd like to start off with your personal story or background on what inspired you to get into the ministry.
Okay. Well, first of all, I will say that I come from a Christian home. I come from a family of believers, from mm-hmm. my grandparents to my parents. So I was raised, I was born and raised in church. However, that didn't stop me from making a multitude of mistakes. You know, so just because you are raised in church, or, you know, you hear a lot of saying, well, preacher's kids are the worst kids, or whatever the case is. But I will say this, not in defense, but a lot of times we grew up sheltered. We grew up where we couldn't do certain things. We couldn't go certain places. So when you get old enough and when you tap it a little bit, it's like, wow. You know, you get so far out in it, and you know,
yeah,
because we couldn't do it. We wasn't allowed to do it. So, but like I said, it didn't stop me from making a multitude of mistakes. I have been in and out of jail. My last time, I received a 10-year federal sentence, and I was in the church then. I was active in the church then.
Wow.
And It brought a lot of shame on my family. It brought a lot of shame on my church family, because none of them supported anything that I did was wrong. But I was one of those people that was in church that was living behind a mask. I would go to church on Sunday. I would go to Bible study on Wednesday. But when I went home, my life was totally different than what I was doing while I was in services on Sunday and Wednesday.
Understood. Wow. That's very interesting. I my story is similar, because I come from church background as well, right? And from Brooklyn, New York. And right. So my great-grandmother, you know, my grandmother, great-grandmothers, they raised me in, I mean, church, Wednesday, Bible study, you know, I'm in a choir, I'm doing everything, usher boy, right? And so when I get away from them and I grow older and I leave state and I separate, I'm in the world. Right. Yes. And they protected me in that fence and did everything they can, you know, to guide me. But once, like you said, to your point, you go astray, you get off track a little bit. Right. Life happens. Right. Influence, you know, you're around some different kind of people.
Right.
We talk about that, too. So I totally relate to you on how anything's possible any moment. You think you might be lined up this way, and next thing you know, you're on a whole completely different path. And I appreciate you for sharing that. At what point for you and your personal story did you say, okay, I had enough? Was it after your sentence, when you came home? Or what was the determining factor to say, this is the last time, this is no, this is, I'm going this way from now on?
It was while I was incarcerated. What happened was, when I got to jail, I didn't want to have nothing to do with God, because I felt that I was a lost cause. I felt that I was already doomed for hell. I tried him and I kept going back to this life that I was doing. And I want people to know that I didn't intentionally, I wanted to do better. I wanted to do the right thing.
Yeah.
I wanted to please God and to please my family. But it was just this, I was just drawn. I was drawn to, I had a lot of insecurities in my life. Like I dealt with rejection. I dealt with feeling unloved. I felt all these things, even though these were just lies from the enemy. You know, I was molested. I was raped. You know, I just did a lot of things to try to please people, to try to have people in my life, which, like I said, it cost me jail. But I didn't want to have anything to do with God while I was in jail. I didn't want to be another person that's in there that got jailhouse religion, or they just in here to because they want God to do something for them, because I knew who God was. And so I'm looking at God as this holy God. He hates sin and militia is filled with it. But where my life changed, I was actually in the shoe, which is called a hole.
Okay.
I got caught up with another person who did something, and I was innocent. And I was just like, God, like, I'm doing good. What is happening? But while I was in that time of isolation, that's when I had my road to Damascus experience. And I laid on that concrete floor in the hole by myself. And I said, God, I surrender. I said, God, enough is enough. God, I cannot do this anymore. I got a 10, well, I had a 12 year sentence, you know, going away from my son, growing up without his mother, you know, just I fully surrendered. I said, okay, God, it's all about you. I'm ready to do whatever you call me to do. I'm going to use my story to be able to help other people so they won't go through the same things that I had to go through, you know, which was choice of my own. However, but when that relationship with God began to change is when I saw Jesus on that cross and I saw the theft, I saw the deception, I saw the lies, I saw the fornication, I saw everything that I did. And Jesus said, Melissa, I love you just this much. That's why I died for you, because I knew you couldn't do it right. I knew you couldn't do it right. But all I need you to do is just take my love. And because I realized, okay, you love me in spite of what I've done, I'm going to reciprocate that love back to you. Okay. And when I mess up, God, I'm sorry. Help me to do better. Don't stay watered down in that stuff that you're doing. And I'm going to show the same love that you showed to me to somebody else who's going through or who's doing it. So I find myself not being judgmental, whether you homosexual, whether you theft, whether you're a prostitution, whether you're a drug dealer, a drug addict, everybody, Jesus loves everybody.
Yeah.
And so we have to show the love of Jesus so we can win them over to him. So they can experience the same love that we got.
Wow. That's good. That's really good. There's so many key points you said that. And, you know, to chime in on that, like I said, love is the ultimate power.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. It's the ultimate power. It can overcome everything. That's the strongest one. A lot of people think it's other things, but like I said, love and that like you said, that amazing grace. You know, a lot of people have that shame, and they put that all over themselves. But when you introduce yourself to the higher power, my goodness, and he take you and accept you for who you are, it's a beautiful process, and your eyes start to open, and then like I said, it makes you more relatable to people in society.
Right. Yeah. I am very transparent. Yeah. I would tell it all. Some people say, well, my goodness, Melissa, you just tell it all. People want your realness.
Yes.
Okay. They want your realness, and just be truthful. Yeah. If you my son was a conception of being with a married man. I know I'm not the only person who slept with a married man. Mm-hmm. You know, even Jesus, the lady who was caught in the act of adultery, he without sin cast the first stone. There's a lot of things that we as believers are dealing with and are struggling with, but because we're so worried about what other people think about us.
Talk about it. Wow.
Say about us. But if you go here and be honest, share it so other people can get delivered. We are going through different things. We all have struggles. We're not going to reach perfection until we get to Jesus. So it is what it is. So,
I like that. Yeah, that's the truth. And then, like you say, you only learn through the pain. You only learn through the truth. So if I keep telling you everything you want to hear, how are you going to learn?
I'm a broken person. I messed up.
Yeah.
I did it all. I'm saying, like, I tell my son, I said, come on, you can't slick a slick. Your mama don't did that already.
I know, that's right.
Come on,
been there, done that, huh?
Yeah, like I see it, boo-boo. You know, so if we just be truthful and honest and stop worrying about, people are going to talk whether you do good.
Regardless, ain't it?
Regardless of what you say, they got something to say. So my ultimate goal is to please Jesus and to do what he wants me to do. So, hey, it is what it is. I'm an open book. Anything you want to know, ask me and I'll tell you.
Wow, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Hey, so your main objective, can you enlighten me on your main objective with your prison ministry? One of them, I know you may have many, but so people can understand the angle that you're coming through and the message, how you can connect everything that you personally experience and why this is so important to you right now.
Well, for me, there's, like you say, there's so many different angles, but the one that I'm stressing on now is for more believers to get involved in prison ministry. And when you think of prison ministry, a lot of people think of just going to the prison, but that's not all there is to prison ministry.
Okay.
For me, when I was incarcerated, I would have loved to receive a letter from somebody. I would have loved to got a card from somebody. You know, your children are suffering too. My son did time with me. What about my sister? She told me just yesterday, she didn't receive one thing, one monetary gift, one bit of support for my son that she raised for 10 years.
Wow.
The church didn't help her. Family wasn't there to say, Mavis, I know you're raising Melissa's son. Here, let me do this to help you. My father, he would tell me, he said he didn't receive any help from nobody, not so much financially, but sometimes people just need somebody to know I'm here for
you. I'm in your corner. Yeah, yeah. It's different ways.
Right. Your child is gone. Well, they go through too. You know, so me doing my time wasn't just by me. My family had to do the time with me. Yeah. So I want more churches to get involved in that, as well as I have a friend who's my co-host on my podcast, Jesus, the Key to the Entry. And the mindset got to change in people. So there's so much going on in our world today. OK, there's so much going on in our world. And if each believer will get outside of the four walls of the church and say, this is a person on a street corner, or this person do drugs, or this person is, mentor them, befriend them. Just you ain't got to give them no scriptures. You ain't got to invite them to church. Just show them some love.
Yeah.
And the Bible says, with love and kindness, do we draw people to Christ? And if these people receive the love of Jesus, we'll have less shooting going on in our country. We'll have less drug trafficking, rape, incest, all this stuff will stop if we show the love of Jesus. So my angle right now, church, as I'm talking to the believers, get involved in people outside of your church. So we won't be having all this crazy stuff that's going on in our country. We won't have the mass incarceration. We won't be having people going to jail and coming back out if you support them. Because when I came out of prison after 10 years, I had nothing.
Really? That was my next question, Melissa. Wow.
Nothing. You know, so I needed help. I needed help. And when people don't get help, a lot of times they go back to what they know.
Because that's all they know.
That's all they know. Mm-hmm. So we just need it. We are our brothers and our sisters' keepers. Jesus said, when I was in prison, you visited me. He said, what you do for the least of them, you're doing it for him. So don't forget them. Also, remember those who are in prison as if you yourself was in prison. What Jesus is saying in that scripture, don't forget about them. Don't forget. Don't let them be out of sight, out of mind. Let them know that they still love. Let them know that they still care for. Let them know we're still praying for you. Love is an action word. I'm going to say it all day long. You can tell me you love me, but you show me you love me and I can see it.
Yeah, the action behind it. Yeah. People throw it out. It's cliche these days, you know.
They just say it just to be saying it.
Yep. Especially in this day and age. My goodness.
I love you. Yeah. don't care about them more. No more than nothing. Wow. You know, but when you love me, you forgive me. And as believers, we're supposed to be the forgiving people. We're supposed to be the ones that show grace. We're supposed to be the one that show mercy. That's us. That's what Jesus called us to be. But the church is the most hardish, judgmental people I have ever met.
Yeah.
You got more worldly people helping people incarcerated than you do to the believers.
Wow. Wow. And you know, I think that's why some people it's so hard for people to keep people in the sanctuary now in these churches because they starting to be exposed. They see it for what it is.
Yeah.
They're not doing enough work in the community, as what you're saying. Right. You know, it's too many internal cliques and too many internal buildings. You know, right. People coming to watch each other and all this good stuff, and it's not enough working in a community. Right. Like I said, I always tell people, Jesus ain't have a church. He walked the earth.
Yeah.
He helped his people.
Right. And don't get me wrong. I love going to the house of the Lord. I love being there. But what about the one? We already know Jesus.
Yeah.
What about the people who don't know him?
That's a great point. Wow.
What about the ones that don't know him? So we got to get out. I'm telling you, when I was in prison, the people who people would not normally be with, or when you get saved, you know, we're going to come out from among you and be separate. But those people still need to know who Jesus is.
Yeah, I see. Yeah.
We was once there.
Wow. That's good stuff. Do you believe, Melissa, and this is always a good question I like to ask, and this is great because you have you went through so much, but do you believe all inmates deserve a second chance no matter what the crime is? And based on the fact that you're in that ministry, there's a certain crime, is this unacceptable to you? Or you believe simply everybody deserves a second chance to get rehabilitated back into society?
I'm going to say this. I know Jesus can change anyone.
Mm.
I know Jesus can do it. He can. I'm saying, if you look on the cross, he had a thief and a murderer, right?
Yeah.
So Jesus can, he can change anyone. Their hearts can change. Now, whether they come back out to society,
that's between
what the Lord allowed to happen in their life. But I've been in prison with murderers. I've been in prison with molesters. I've been in prison with people who did things. And I know, when you live with somebody, you know whether they're different or not. Because you can only hide for so long where you're living at. Okay. Yep. The real you is going to come out. And right now, I have a friend and she's in prison now for a violent crime, but she did 20 years in prison. I know her life is different. Love Jesus so much, I know her life is different. You know, and so yes, do I believe certain people deserve a second chance? We all deserve a second chance.
Yeah,
all of us have. However, you know, some people may spend the rest of their life in Jesus, because ultimately it's about seeing Jesus. That's our eternal destination, that's our home, that's our glory. But yes, I believe people can change. I am a personal witness of it. People can change. It's the people who don't want to forgive. It's the people who want to constantly look at what they did and hold it against us. Because when Jesus forgave us, he threw it into the sea of forgiveness. You know, think of it no more. So, you know, I've talked to different people with different crimes. Yeah, but your mind got to change.
Mindset
change, your lifestyle will follow.
There you go. Yeah.
So, yeah, I do believe it. I do believe it, because people can change.
Yes. That's a perfect segue. And I always ask, and I know it's a difficult question, but you got to ask it to the right people, the right person, rather. You know what I mean? Like, you can ask it. It's cliche. But anybody, that crime is heinous. You've never been in that position. You know what I'm saying? You never experienced what Melissa experienced. That's a whole nother, you know, and so too many people talking for too many people. You know, too many people casting judgment. Oh my goodness. Especially in this day and age right now. And it's the saddest thing to see. Cause like you said, everybody needs some help.
Yeah.
Everybody needs some help.
Because if you look at it, and I thank God for this podcast, and I thank you for allowing me to do this.
Oh, absolutely. Please.
Need to be made awareness of things like that. But a lot of things that's going on and why people do what they're doing is because something has happened in their life. Wow. Their soul is wounded. They just wake up with anger. They didn't wake up with hate. You know, something happened in their life to where they're going crazy.
Yeah.
People need help. People need rehabilitation. First of all, they need Jesus. Okay. That's the main thing. Okay. But being incarcerated, I've watched it. This one lady who in there for a child molesting, he was child molested. Her parents did it to her. So she grew up thinking it was normal.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
So she don't think she did nothing wrong, because she grew up her whole life with her parents doing this to her. And her siblings doing this to her. So she just grew up with what she knew. Yeah, we think it's sickening, it's demonic, whatever case you want, but That's why we got to go outside of the four walls of the church and be there for these people and show them who Jesus is and show them this is not of God. And so they can be healed and delivered.
Yeah.
Give them the proper help that they need. Just because you put a person in prison don't mean you getting them no help.
Ain't that something? And you know, that's the part that trips me out, right? So that's why the rehabilitation and what you do is so important, because you throw the shackles and lock them up all day, but what is the true help and healing come from if they ain't do what you did and open up the good book and meet the Lord and, you know, behind the wall? Not everybody does what you do. And so, like I said, there still need more resources, more opportunity, more learning, more healing to be done. And that's not it. And that's the thing to me. Like you say, you hit it right on the head. It's like, hey, if you can't even help me personally, like I said, guide me to the resources that can. Show me the way. You know, there's always a way. And we don't see that enough in society, unfortunately, right now.
And one thing that I can tell you, I learned more from prison than I did in the street.
I'm
telling you, I learned more from being in prison than I did on the street. So, no, my mindset had to change. I didn't know anything about drugs. I was a white collar offender. I didn't know anything about drugs. People told me. People said, no, this militia, this is how you make meth. This is how you do. And I'm blinded to this. I'm like, wow.
Wow.
No. So once your life, your mindset change, your mind got to change. Your mind, you need to know. I have one lady who wrote me consistently for 10 years. 10 years, never met me a day before in my life.
Wow.
And now I'm out and she's helping me with ministry now. And, you know, a total blessing in my life. Yeah, but you need people. We need it. We are Jesus' hands and feet, people.
Yeah.
Come on. We are the answer to people's prayers.
Wow. That's good. Are you currently working on any new exciting projects right now in the ministry, or anything that the people can anticipate from you that you're behind?
Yes, right now, I have a friend, also my co-host, Mr. Kendrick Fulton. Okay. He actually did 17 and a half years in incarcerated. And right now we have a podcast called Jesus is the Key to Reentry. And what we're doing is we're educating believers of the importance of prison ministry. And prison ministry is not just going to the prisons, as I was saying. So we have different people from all walks of life, whether they've been incarcerated, different pastors, even Congress people that can help change laws, Chamber of Commerce people that will be here to let you know what goes on in the prison, to let you know how it's important for believers to get involved, whether it's advocacy programs, whether it's doing Angel Tree, buying a Christmas gift for a child of incarcerated parent, you know, whatever the case may be. So that's what we have going on. I'm very excited about him, because he done 17 and a half years in prison and he loves Jesus.
Yeah.
He loves Jesus. And to see a man that's on fire for God is just awesome. And I'm just thank God. So this is what we're doing. It's called Jesus is the Key to Reentry. If you want to stay out of prison, it's called Jesus. If you don't want to go to prison, it's called Jesus. If you want to do your time while you're in prison, it's called Jesus.
Wow, so, that's the answer.
Yes, he's the answer. Amen.
That is the Almighty is the answer. Pointing right to the Creator of the Most High.
Yes.
That's beautiful stuff. Any type of educational programs that you offer or people can get any tips on? I know you said you and your co-hosts are working, but are there any type of educational programs? Some people don't get their GED, or they look into school, or do you have any kind of guidance or resource on those kind of, or jobs, employment? Do you guys do that type of work as well?
Well, definitely all of that is in motion. I'm to meet with the Chamber of Commerce now.
Beautiful.
So we can try to get jobs. Because that's the biggest problem is when a person comes out, they can't get a job. And so, like I said at the beginning, they go back to what they know. But as far as the educational programs, we have different places that will help them. These are things that's in the foreseen future of what the Compassionate Advocacy want to do as far as different things like that. When they come out, they can get a gift card where they can get some clothing, you know, to kind of help them with housing. Eventually, I would like to do a Celebrate Recovery, which is a 12-step program, but it's all centered on Jesus Christ. It is not just a person who's been on drugs and alcohol, but any type of addiction, any type of thing. And my pastor has allowed me to use the facility to be able to teach it. So these are things that's coming. These are things that's on the work.
Yeah.
But if you need it, I would try to my best to put you in the right direction. There's other organizations and places that's already established. And, you know, we have to help each other. It's not just about what I'm doing. It's about what you're doing. It's about what the next person is doing. And so if I can lead them into the right direction, that's what I want to do. I want to show compassion. I want to show the love of Jesus, and I want to help those who need the help.
Wow, that's beautiful. And so with that, Melissa, how can the people connect with you on your website, social media, the listeners listening? They may have family, you know, personal friends going through some things, and you might be the perfect person to go to as a resource for these type of intricate topics. So how can the people connect with you?
Okay, well, I have a Facebook page and an Instagram page of the Compassionate Advocate. You can just put that in and you'll see it. You'll see a little logo with a heart, with a hand, because that's who we are. Also, you can go to my website, which is www.mljenterprises.org, and it will give you information on what we're doing, what we're about to do. We also have a contact us page. If you have any questions or anything, you can just send us a message there. My email address will be there. Everything will be there, but the Compassionate Advocate. Just Google the Compassionate Advocate or even my name, Melissa Johnson. You'll just see different podcasts that I've been on. You'll see the website. You'll just see the different things that I have a desire to help people. So, yes.
Oh, that's beautiful. We thank you, Melissa, so much for doing your work and being there for people in the time of need when society needs it the most.
Amen.
You know, we living in a time right now where a lot of people have they've forgotten how to love. They've forgotten how to think. They become so rely upon other things and society and the governments and all that stuff where they just don't even know. Right. So like the renewing of the mind, the awareness, retraining, rehabilitation, meaning do we got to do it again and again and again and again and again? And it's work. But like I said, we need our people. It takes more than one person to do this. So the listeners, if you guys are listening, definitely tap into what Melissa's offering. She's out here really helping the people. She's personal experience in this industry. Yeah. She's been through some things. She's overcame it. And she's here teaching the people how to walk across that bridge. And we really appreciate you, Melissa, so much during these times right now, because we really need more people out here like you. Who is willing to help. That is very critical right now. So we really got to give you your public flowers from me to you. And this is a very special episode because I know people personally that's going through it. People behind the wall, right? Yes. So we need to take out time for those people because they still count.
You know? You said it. Yes.
Yeah. So I had to. I'm sorry, it's still your thunder, Melissa, but I had to get that off my heart.
No. It's like I said, it's all about him and it's doing what he wants us to do. So, hey, to God be the glory there for you and for what you're doing.
Absolutely.
And see, that's the key. We need people like you to help us get the message out.
Yeah.
To help us get it across. So, yes, thank you.
Absolutely. You. Everybody has a voice. Everybody has a story and everybody counts.
Yes.
You know, that's what we need to do. And so any final salutes, thank yous or public flowers you want to give to your family, your team, your supporters who continue to be by your side?
Yes, I do. I definitely want to thank God for my family, my sisters and my father in general, who did this 10-year bid with me. They never left my side, even though I was blowing up the news in a newspaper. And, you know, I caused them shame, but they still was there for me.
Yeah.
It was there for me. So my dad and my mom and my sisters, I thank God for them. And I thank God for even coming out and having a church family that's here that I can still be a part of that.
Yeah.
And it's just so good to have people that loves Jesus and loves you right beside you. And so I'm just grateful to that. I'm grateful to everyone that just give me thanks and just let me know that I can make it. And then that God has a plan for me, because he does.
Absolutely.
So to keep being reminded and to keep hearing it, it feels good. Encouragement don't never hurt nobody.
Oh, goodness. Don't cost a thing, don't it?
Yeah. So I thank God for every post, every like, every smile. So it means a lot to me.
Yeah, we love you and the whole story. You know, people got to get to the love again, you know. And everybody, ain't nobody out here perfect. You know what I'm saying, Melissa? Ain't nobody out here perfect. We all got some things that we're ashamed of. And like I said, you know, this social media era that we live in now, in this new day and time, everybody's showing you the finished product. Mm-hmm. Nobody's showing you, the pain. Mm-hmm. And so you have these illusions being just displayed all over the world, and everybody thinking everything all good. And that's the smoke and mirror, and it's not. And we need to get time. We need to remove those doors, and we need to get back to the real. And this conversation that we had right now is the real conversation. So we appreciate you. Thank you for sharing your story.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Absolutely. Stardom 101 Magazine podcast. We thank you guys for tuning in. Make sure you tap into Melissa's website, her podcast as well, her platform. Look her up on social media, Facebook, and her information will actually be in the show notes of this podcast, clickable, so you can go straight to her. Once again, we appreciate you guys for tuning in, and have a good night.
Are you on the rise to stardom? Well, get featured in the next issue of Stardom 101 magazine and promote your business or products today. Text MAG to 804-550-8647 or visit stardom101mag.net.
You're listening to the Stardom 101 magazine podcast with Christopher Boykin. Be sure to subscribe and download this episode, and continue to listen to Stardom on iHeartRadio or wherever you get your podcasts.